champion today, and I have another show here tomorrow. So if you're at any point you're interested in hearing the rest of that story, you're more than welcome to come along. But what I'm going to do for you now is I'd like you to make my guests feel very welcome. They've come a long way. They've putting a lot of effort into being here today to entertain you. So, please put your hands together and welcome to stage my first guest for today, Bella Green!
Hey you guys, my name's Bella. I work in a brothel. And I've been working a lot on my brothel customer service lately. So I'm just trying to be nice to the guys when they come in. I've been asking them, have you been here before? And they all say the same thing, right? They all go, oh, once. But it was a long time ago. Which is funny, right? Because that's what I say when I'm at the chemist. And I'm trying to buy something a little bit fun that they might not give me, like codeine or pseudoephedrine. And the chemist says, have you had this before? And I say, once, but it's certainly not a habit, if that's what you're trying to imply. I give a lot of thought to the phrase, couldn't get a root at a brothel. And that's because people can't get a root at a brothel like every day of the week. It happens all the time. And sometimes it's because they're cheap and they want to haggle about the prices. But most of the time it's just because they are so rude to every girl when they come in that we all just decline to have sex with them. And they're like always really surprised we're allowed to say no. And instead of just leaving politely like a civilized human, they'll make a huge scene in the lobby. And they say things like, I don't want to fuck any of you anyway, and storm out. A little bit like me when I'm at the chemist. You know, they take your driver's license, and they can see that you've already had Quadril Original Formula twice this week already, and they won't be giving you any more. And instead of leaving politely, I say, fine. Just so you know, I don't normally have to pay for it. And I didn't want to fuck any of you anyway. It got me thinking though, right? If couldn't get a root at a brothel is a bit of a fallacy, what other expressions do we take for granted here? I was thinking about couldn't organize a piss up in a brewery, because I think that would be a hard place to organize a piss up. That's somebody's workplace. I think there's OH&S rules around stuff like that, probably also a responsible service of alcohol. I had to run that bit past a friend of mine who brews beer for factual accuracy. If you've got a mate who brews beer, you can just bring him to mind right now. And he was like, no, no, no. It's not about OHS, it's about maintaining a completely sterile environment at all times. Everything has to be sterilized, the taps, the tanks, the fixtures, the filters, everything. If the different strands of yeast cross-contaminate, it's all over. And I'm like, nah, man, I obviously get that. It's exactly the same at my workplace. Guys that come into brothels always think they're completely different to every other guy that comes into a brothel. They're always like, you must get some real creeps in here. And I'm like, no, they're pretty much just exactly like you. Sometimes they're like, you must get asked to do some really weird shit. That's how you know. In 5 minutes' time, they're going to ask you to do some really weird shit. I used to work at nice brothels in the city, but as time has gone by, I've kind of moved further out into brothels in the suburbs. And that's a really deliberate decision, right? Because the pay rates are a lot lower, but if you're the youngest girl there, you just get picked every time and you don't have to put any effort in. It's so good. I think I might be gentrifying brothels, though. Like, I'll go to my first shift at somewhere like the Love Palace in Rockingham, right? And I pull into the car park in my Yaris. I've got a soy latte in one hand. I've got my stretchy earlobes. And, like, a city brothel's just like a sexy hotel, right? But the Love Palace has, like, thick red sticky carpets and a disco ball. And I walk in and I'm just like, oh my god, look at this place. This is such an authentic brothel. No, like, this is really cool. This is a dive brothel. I hope hipsters don't come here and ruin this. And, like, five women, all called Rhonda, just turn around and glare at me. Because they know the property prices are going to go up, and they're going to have to move further out into the suburbs. But the culture of the place does change just by way of me being there, right? Like, this used to be a rub and tug. Now there's an artisanal wristies menu. Would you like a coconut oil loop, sir? Perhaps an avocado oil loop? You are never gonna own. one side and they get you to do it yourself, that's called a deconstructed roosty. That'll be $200, thank you. Go fuck yourself. Alright, you guys are lovely. I'm Bella Green. Thank you so much.
We're going to have a little chat.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bella Green, ladies and gentlemen.
Bella Green.
Okay, so you're doing a show in this festival.
I am.
What's it called?
It's called Bella Green is Charging For It, which is pretty self-explanatory, as you can now work out.
Right, so this is, I've seen this show, and it is a great show. Normally when I get people out here, I can ask some things like, you know, what inspired the show, and you know, how did it come with this and that. I mean, a lot of it is quite, like you said, self-explanatory, you know, the impetus for the show. So I guess the nice thing about your show is sort of getting to see, because every workplace has that, like, that back and forth between co-workers and that stuff that, like, anyone who works in a place, you know, not so much that you hate people coming, but you have instances where you rub up against people who come in. I mean, not literally rub up against people who, like, that's you, that's more your job.
That's just me, probably
yeah.
Not you. Customer service though, right? Any customer service.
Yeah. So you'll have, like, moments where you get awful people, and it's sort of interesting to get a behind the scenes of an industry that not a lot of people I think talk about, and not a lot, at least isn't in the public sphere as much. And you know, you got best comedy Melbourne Fringe, right?
Nominated.
I'm overselling it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm overselling it.
No, it was great. The other day, I just went and someone introduced me as best comedy nominee for Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Oh, that's a step up.
It's a step up. I'm just not going to correct that.
Yeah,
it can
right.
Happen.
Why would
fine.
You? Let that float in the air for a bit. How have you found the transition across from Melbourne to Perth? Like, you know, doing new festivals now, new audiences. Do you find it's all travelling as well? Like, are you enjoying sort of the Perth audience here?
Of course, Perth is beautiful. It's my hometown, so I grew up here.
That much for a town.
Yeah, I love it.
A small boo from the back. Almost unhearable, inaudible.
I feel like Perth audiences like Perth references more than anybody else anywhere. Maybe it's because, I don't know, a lot of people don't come here, but I've like mentioned something from Perth and people are like, yes, much more than anywhere else. So
I think that's nice though. Because what, is it the most isolated city in the world?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? So I think it's just exciting to know that someone knows you're out here and that someone knows that what's going on.
Yeah, I don't want to leave. I'm having such a good time.
Oh, I'm sure you could, you know, get a good clientele up in this area.
Right.
Sure, there's plenty of people out there who would love to see you. Alright, let's get the show rolling on. Thank you so much, Bella. We'll
Thank
have you
so
back.
Much.
Bella will be back later. Yeah, you're a live guest. That's right. And please welcome to stage the second guest for the evening. You're going to love him. Mr. Ollie Horn!
Oh, thanks so much. Hello.
Hey, yeah, that was all yours.
That's it then, is it just going to start? Hello everybody!
Hello!
Hello from Ollie, I'm from the UK. Hope that's not a problem. Despite the fact that I'm dressed impeccably, you can tell that I'm one of the good guys. Yeah. From the UK, but I'm not posh. Not one of those nasty posh British people that cause Brexit. You can tell I'm not posh because my face is still. But there's like really posh British people that have that face that's just. The whole face is just struggling to touch up with their accent. It's like, a surprise, what was that called? I didn't know we gave Hong Kong back! I'm one of the good guys. It's nice to be here in Perth, my first time here in Perth. It's good, eh? It's alright, eh? You cover up your meth addiction well. It's functioning well. Really weird thing happened though, right, coming here. Because I had to take a flight kind of via Singapore, that was my transit. And I took this like final leg of my journey. And I was one of the last people on the plane, right? And I walked off this plane, and every single person on the entire plane was staring at me, right? Just like now. And so I looked down and I checked, and I was fine, right? But I realised, right, this is true. I was the only white person on the entire plane. Big responsibility. God forbid, in the event of a crash, I'm the reason it becomes international news. I'm supposed to be woke, boys and girls. Clear all my best. we can laugh, right? You know, we can laugh because that's based on a stereotype, right? Ultimately, that joke highlights the truth, the nasty truth that we don't want to admit. And the annoying thing for us liberals, right, is that sometimes stereotypes aren't true. That's the annoying thing. I get stereotypes because I'm overweight. People assume because I'm fat that I'm nice. Not. But I do wonder where stereotypes come from. I think a lot of stereotypes, like they come from childhood. I think I learned a lot of my messages from Disney movies, right? I watched a lot of Disney movies as a child. That's one of the reasons why I grew up to be so fabulous. And recently I had to kind of reassess this, right? Because I recently went to Disneyland. Can you shoot? You've been to Disneyland?
Woo!
Okay, go on. Recently went to Disneyland with a girl.
I'm not
telling you to show off, right? I'm just telling you so you don't imagine the alternative, which is I, a grown man, went to Disneyland alone. I guess you've got on a list, apparently, so. For the sake of this story, I went with a girl. And, you get ready. I don't want to get too philosophical, right? It's the afternoon show, but if you go to the theme park alone, you do start to get quite philosophical. I realise that, in many ways, girlfriends, right, are like trampolines. I really want one. But as my mum said, I've always been too big to enjoy one properly. She never said that. She's dead. To me. So I went on this ride, and this ride called It's a Small World. Can you make sure you've heard of this ride?
Yeah.
Okay, go on here. For those of you that don't know the ride, don't have to explain. Basically, it's like a little ship ride you've got on a little boat. You can travel around a universe that Disney has created. And this is Disney's way of showing us that all the world's the same. It's Disney's way of kind of banishing stereotypes. So you travel around this world that Disney's created of all these little children representing their own unique pockets of the world. Right? And Disney's way of showing that all the children of the world are completely the same is by showing these children as looking radically different. Using stereotypes that Frank in the 1920s wants back. Awful! You walk in, it's like, boom, boom, welcome to Africa, we have cross skirts and spears. No, you don't. Boom, boom, welcome to Mexico, do you want some drugs? No, I don't. What's that? Yellow kids in China. Hello! It's fucking disgraceful. And we're showing this to our children now in the 21st century. It's awful, isn't it? If Disney really wanted to prove that it's a small world, they should be challenging our stereotypes, right? They should be undermining our assumptions. You know, they're going on this ride, chugging along, and you should see like a little cartoon figure of a child. You see, oh, look, you see a little girl over there, yes, the big Latino booty, yes, the jet black hair, the lovely tan skin, yes. Well, she's actually from Tasmania. you see that little boy over there, the little boy was born a girl. Why not? If Disney really wanted to prove to me that it's a small world, they should forget about this stupid ride, right? I should go on this ride, right, in somewhere like, I don't know, Disneyland, Shanghai, right, like ages away. I should walk in, there shouldn't be a ride, it should just be one big black box, right? And in that room, it should just be my two flatmates from my second year of university. I'll just walk in, like, Chris, Alfie, what are you doing here? You get out of those kimonos, that's racist. It's a small world, isn't it? Namaste, very nice. I like travelling, right? I do think that travelling broadens the mind. I travel a lot for this job. I suppose one of the perks of this job is you can download Tinder everywhere and find out that your university are attractive. It's very humbling, but I'll close in just this way. I did have quite a magical experience. It's about 6 months ago. I did a match with a girl on Tinder, and that is normally worthy of an audience's applause. No, too late. Right. You know, you have those magical moments in life, right, where you meet someone, and it's like, it kind of feels like you've known them forever. Like, you're kind of planning the next days, weeks, and months, and they come in. Like, I don't want to get too crude, but it was kind of inevitable that that night on that date, this girl was going to end up back at mine. And I don't say that to kind of be crude. Basically, it was obvious, because I was on the date kind of being quite British, I guess, kind of quite reserved, quite gentlemanly. On the other hand, she told me on Tinder that she would sleep with anyone. I was like, wow, isn't that a match made in heaven? How the stars align. And I'm not going to get too crude, right? I'm not going to talk about sex on stage. I know I shouldn't do that. My best friend, he watches a lot of my shows, he says I shouldn't talk about sex on stage, right? Because the audience has to imagine. That's horrible. So is it? He said he'd rather imagine his own parents having sex than imagine me having sex. It was a really nasty thing to say because his dad's dead. It's a really tough
night.
I'll cut out the nasty bit of the story, but I'll just tell you that one thing later on. That one thing was Amir, and that other thing was very high quality work. And we got to that magic club. She grabbed my face and she looked at me straight in the eyes and she said, "Ollie, say my name." I had a very clever response to this. Because I said, "No." It's all about consent these days, isn't it? She said, "Say my fucking name." I said, I'm not part of service, so I'm not going to do it. She said, "Why don't you say my name? You forgot my name." You forgot my name. I can't believe you brought this up. I said, "I've not forgotten it. I've just checked. I know what your name is." She said, "Well, why won't you say my name?" And you guys have been loving it. I'll tell you exactly what I had to say to her. I said, "Look, the reason I can't say your name, right, is because you have exactly the same name as my mother. And that's weird, isn't it?" "There should be a setting for that. You should be able to filter that out." She said, "I bet you said that to all the girls. That's just your excuse, isn't it? But you said that to all the girls." "Yeah, all the girls call me Karen. I probably would have said that to them." And she said, "Look, it's just my thing. I can't really find it unless I hear my name. So if it's all the same to you, I'd very much like it. Say my name. Just say my name. And you know, if there's one thing you've learned about me during the course of this gig, which has had, you know, more empty chairs facing me than basically any other gig, the festival, is that despite the most difficult circumstances, I tried my very best." And so what I did was I got back. And then the fact that I was entering on this weird sexual territory was like even more kind of exciting and erotic for her. So as we got back into it, she was like, "Really excited." She was like, "Oh, it's there, you're the same." I'm really not sure. She's like, "Just say, just say it's sexy, it's cool, just say it." I'm really not sure I should. "Just say it, stop thinking, it's not weird, stop thinking, just say it." "I'm not sure I should." "Just say it. I'm going to love it. Just say it. Just say it. Say it. I shouldn't. Just say it. Just say it. I shouldn't." All right, panic. So I shouted, "Mummy!" It's not wrong, is it? I've got to give it a one. You guys have been an absolute treat. Thanks so much for having me. I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Ollie Horn, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you mentioned already, but you do have a show in this festival, and your show is called?
The show is unrelated to everything you just heard. My show is called Pig in Japan. Pig in Japan, it's a funny title, isn't it? It's a true story of when I moved to Japan, I became a little bit famous. That's interesting, isn't it? How famous did you become, Ollie? Well, not famous enough, I'm back here doing this shit now, aren't I?
That's kind of what the show's all about.
The rise and fall of Ollie Horn.
Yeah, you've seen the show, so you know that particular rise and fall analogy is particularly apt.
Yeah. No, it's a good show. I do highly recommend going and checking it out.
You've seen it? He's not just saying that.
Yeah.
Often comics say that, like, "Yeah, go, my favorite.
Sorry, a couple of nights ago, because I tried to get into the festival early to check out people who are putting on shows and see who's doing something interesting. You know, I found Bella, I found Holly, and the next act, you know, she's around doing something interesting as well. But I found that the exploration of some of the ideas in it, because it could easily lead to just like silly hijinks and just silly stories, but there's quite a nice emotional arc to it as well. Like, yeah. You're sort of talking about a few interesting issues.
Yeah, well, I think it's very easy to just do a show kind of making fun of a country, right? Because especially if you haven't been to the country, you kind of get carte blanche, right? I can basically say anything, and you go, "Oh, good." Okay. But I think, in order to make the show interesting for people that maybe have been in the country or have travelled, I wanted the show to be about how do you kind of define your own identity when often your identity is being decided by a proxy, right, by your environment. And so I think the story of me being a fish out of water and kind of what I learned about Japan, I hope is as relevant to, say, a British audience that you know, thinking about their place in Britain or Australian audience. Or
I think it's a good sort of parable, like the immigrant's tale. And just some nice moments in there, some really beautiful, like just some nice heartfelt moments in there, as well as a lot of strong comedy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also funny in parts as well. It's not a bloody, Debbie Downer show. You're going to come away laughing at lots of it.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thanks,
I'll
go now.
Yeah, we'll have you back out a little bit later.
Ollie,
man. Ollie, man. Sorry. Ollie, man. You're Ollie, man. You're Ollie, man. All right, we have one final guest, and then we have a slight format transition. So So, we're getting our final guest on for the night, and this afternoon. Please put your hands together and make her feel welcome to one of my favourites from out in Melbourne, Clara Cupcakes!
And there were mines, and there were can-can girls, and there was automatic entered the show, and our stage. Oh, our stage. Was a patch of grass next to the canopy stable? But it was fine, we're professionals, we can strip, and aerate the grass at the same time with our 7-inch heels. Mmm, glamorous. So the first girl went on, I did the most beautiful showgirl striptease routine you've ever seen. And people looked up from their mimosas. She twirled, and shimmied, and titillated, until all that she was wearing was a pair of pasties and a sparkly G-string. Ooh la la. While we were performing, the person who was putting on the event hurried up to us and said in a rushed tone, I didn't realise that there would be nudity! Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't want nudity at your Moulin Rouge themed event. Where if you've been to the Moulin Rouge, the girls perform actually topless on a daily basis, sometimes twice daily on a Saturday. And back in the day, I actually used to slip their pantaloons up the middle so that the front rows bought their special tickets so they could see all of the vulvas in action while they were doing those magic. But you! You didn't want nudity at your event! The rest of us were forbidden from going on. Still got paid though! Whee! Oh, showbiz is so glamorous! Can you even handle it? Champagne, luxury and lipstick. It's 100% just living that dream. Glitz, it screams. Sometimes multiple men to be pictures of their thing. Oh, actually, no, I was doing this other gig. I was doing this other gig in Adelaide. And it was my ninth gig of the day. Because you've got to hustle hard at these festivals. And it was my ninth gig, and I just signed my hula hoop act. That's my other job. I'm a hula hooper. So I was doing this gig. It was a comedy lineup, and normally I don't do my hula hoops on a comedy lineup because it's, you know, a bit weird for me to come on when everyone else is just like a dude in a 15% grey shirt. But I did it. I went on, and I absolutely breached the house down, smashed it at work, girl. Yes, and I felt so good about it. This is the first time I've ever done that, and it was very exciting. The next day, I was at the same venue. It was like a fringe after party kind of deal. My friend was talking to this guy, and I went up to say hi to my friend, and the guy was like, hey, did you perform last night? And I was like, oh, yes, I did. He's like, oh, I saw you. You were really good. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then he said in a much lower tone, I also saw your top bits. Top bits. Not tits or knockers or even boobs. Top bits. Would you also like to make a weird comment about my butt, aka my back rack, my sit tits, or my bottom chest? Top bits. Oh, showbiz is a glamorous thing. Can you even handle it? Champagne, luxury, and lipstick. Oh, just 100%! Live that dream! Live, glamour, it's a scream sometimes! Multiple men can reach so many! Actually, I was doing this other gig in Adelaide. Why so many Adelaide stories, Clara, I wonder? And I was doing this gig called Naked Girls Reading. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we do get a lot of questions, and the main one is it just Naked Girls Reading? Yes. So I was doing this gig, and I was about to warm up and do a mic check and sound check like that, and I was sitting on stage in nothing but this beautiful satin robe on this beautiful red chaise lounge, and I realised that something bad was about to happen. No. Not the men who come on their own and sit in the front row and kind of furtively hide their erections while we're reading Harry Potter. I realised that my aunt Flo was about to come to town. That's right. And for those of you not playing golf, I'm also quite nude. Now, because it's a fringe festival, there's no toilets backstage because that would be too easy. So, the closest toilets were about a 5-minute run away, and I had to be on stage in 5 minutes. That was impossible. That's a 10-minute journey either way. So I did what any respectable girl would do. I grabbed my moon cup because I care about the environment, and a bottle of water, and I just kind of like whipped me in the back of the tent and kind of just squatted, just trying to get that little silken chalice up there. While on the other side of the scrim fence, it's very flimsy, these people were talking about how they just wanted to see our twerker, and it was actually really good. And how they were going to enjoy a cheeky rosé after. A bit like me, but different. I finally got that silicon chalice right up there, and then I washed my blood off my hands like a murderer that had just committed a
You brought them all up here, you may as well take a seat.
I'm powerful.
You are powerful. Clara is also doing a show and festival.
Woo! I am doing a show and festival. I'm doing one every day on a table in the Pleasure Garden.
Literally.
Not a joke, it is actually on the Pleasure Garden. It's at 9 o'clock, it's free. It's called I Made This For You, and it's based on audience suggestions that I get every day. So tonight, I'm going to recreate Magic Mike. That's just what's happening.
That was the entire suggestion?
Yeah, just Magic Mike. So we're just going to do that.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess that's a good, easy reference. You just go down and stream it this afternoon. And
oh, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, great. Even better. The suggestion, the day that I went, the suggestion was Bunnings. If lowest prices are just the beginning,
what is the end?
That show ended with a Sharknado and an apocalypse inside of Bunnings.
No, it was outside
of
Bunnings.
Oh, outside of Bunnings. Sorry, my bad. My bad. My memory is not what it was.
Bunnings is the only thing saving everyone from the apocalypse.
It's an amazing show. It's really creative. Like, you get in and
don't tell them what happens.
Oh, no, no. It's just, okay. I'm not allowed. I'm sworn by secrecy.
By me.
But you should go check it out. And I highly recommend it. Seeing as we're not allowed to talk about it, we'll get the rest of the guests up on stage.
Sounds good.
Alright, so we've got a format change here. I'm going to bring all of our guests back on.
You need chairs? I found some.
You did find some. Oh, look, you know, I'm sure we can make use of them. We'll see how the rest of the guests feel about it. So while we get our guests back on stage, we'll do a quick round of applause.
Yay!
Okay.
I stole them.
I'll just keep one chair for mine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll stop first.
The most English thing I've seen one of my guests do. In between his set and now, he went and got himself a tea.
Yeah. I'm going to charge him $5 for it. I was like, no, you're not. $5 for tea? And then they're like, that's the price. I've always found a way to not charge me that price. And then $2. Thank you.
I think there's not a longer lead, so this one's fine.
Should I take a chair on
the table? You can do what you will. Everyone else has a chair. I mean, there's a chair here. I'm not going to sit in it, but it's here.
Yeah, but there's something on it.
There is something on it. It could be me.
This looks like a shambles now, doesn't it?
It looks a little bit like a shambles. But also, the chairs are going down in order of... Like, there's three chairs and two chairs and one chair. And my biggest guest is in the one chair, which I guess makes the most sense because...
Fibonacci chairs.
I like how you got a little bit disgusted at your own reference.
Who do you think you are?
Oh, he's coming in bringing the tea and clever. So, the way this second half of the show works is real simple. It's real quick. I've got a couple of questions based on news that's happened quite recently. My guests here are going to try their best to answer those questions. Each of them is going to pick one audience member to play for, and that person, assuming that they win, that person might win some free tickets to one of their shows. So, does anyone have someone they'd like to play for? Is there a particularly good audience member? Was someone good? Someone terrible?
I don't mean to pick holes in the format, but if we're giving away the free tickets for our show, surely we're incentivized for the person not to win.
That's I mean, the Clara show is free anyway.
<You'll win. laughs>
So it's a bit of a trick.
Alright.
Anyone? You can pick someone. Just pop.
Because they're so far away.
Yeah, right. I would have brought them closer, but there's no more chairs. Unless they want to bring their own chairs closer.
I feel like it's spirit now.
I wanna know who the couple is right at the very back. Right? And also,
it was a bold choice going right up back.
Every single person in this room, including the rest of the audience, is thinking, who do you think you are? Up in your thrones at the back. I'm gonna play for them, right? I'm gonna hope I get the question wrong.
Sweet, yeah.
So they learn their lesson about arrogance.
I would like to dimsy this terrific moustache here.
Oh yeah, that's fair choice. What do you reckon, Clara?
I'm going to play for everyone that's not those people.
Sweet. You guys are in with a chance.
Yes.
Alright. So let's get into it. I've got a couple questions here. So, China has reportedly developed a new app. Does anyone know what the function of the app is?
There's obviously more than one answer.
No, they've got like a specific, like the Chinese government has developed an app.
Yeah, but obviously the Chinese government is developing loads of apps, aren't they?
No. You want to take a stab then? You want to take a stab seeing as there's so many answers?
Yeah, sure, and I'll get it right. Something to do with financial services. Probably right, isn't it?
You're actually not far off.
Thank you.
So far, you're two on the right. Anyone else want to take a stab?
Is there anything to do with sex robots?
No, it's not sex robots.
That's your only news.
That's your only news that you keep up on.
That's all I got.
Because the country's out of business.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Is the answer communism?
The answer is always communism.
That's what I thought.
Okay! No, so I'm going to give it to Ollie because he's pretty close. It's to tell people when they're walking within 500 metres of someone who's in debt.
Ooh.
So that they can report them. Because if they're in debt and you suspect that they can afford to pay off their debt based on the purchases that they're making, then you can report them using that app.
I specifically want the opposite. I want to be alerted when I'm around someone who's in great amounts of credit.
Yeah. You can linger around.
Anyone who's paying for Tinder Plus.
Yes. Did you find out the other day on Grindr, which is not an app that I use, but a lot of my friends do, that you can only block 10 people a day, and then you have to pay more if you want to block more people? Which just goes to show what a bin fire that app is. My God! A premium license gets you to block more people. You can say no to more people.
But also more than 10. 10 is a really small amount of people to block in. It seems like a large amount of people to block in a day.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I mean. It can get real messy in there. So to only be able to block 10 people is, they've seen the opportunity, I guess. Smart business. Does anyone want to take a guess at the name of the app? It's real easy.
Is it in Chinese?
Well, I mean, yeah, the translation.
So the translation's going to have some degree of artistic license, isn't it?
Yeah, go for it.
Is it called Snitches Get Riches?
Oh. It's too clever for this. It's the Chinese government. It's the most boring name. It's more boring than that.
I heard debt fart.
Debt fart.
Is it the alert that the app makes when someone in debt walks by?
Because you walk past, it's just like...
It's called
the Map of Deadbeat Debtors.
The Map of
Deadbeat Debtors. Yes, that's
obviously... That's obviously someone being creative in the translations.
Well, I mean, I have to assume so, but... Because the government's incentive is to sort of get people to dump everyone in, so I guess they want to create that sort of ACA level of, or the current affair level of, like, hatred. They're like, oh, the deadbeat debtors are taking your money. You know, that sort of thing. So I can see how a government that is that sort of enforcing on its people would create an act of that name.
It sounds like a Harry Potter thing.
Harry Potter and the Deadbeat. The Map of the Deadbeat Debtors.
Deadbeat
Debtors. Is that anything like the other map he's got? What's it called? The Marauders Map?
Marauders Map.
So, what would you have to say to access the Map of the Deadbeat Debtors? It's like, I solemnly swear I have no money. Or, I solemnly swear I'm not hiding from the government or something like that? I don't know.
It does appear that China is looking to make their entire society cashless, right? So every single transaction in the world goes through their WeChat app, right? So
yeah.
No matter if it's like a 1 cent purchase. I find it really fun, because whenever I tour, I try to use my credit card, because it's better for security and you can track your purchases.
Sure.
But I do think I'm kind of addicted to the feel of money, right? I think it is like an addiction. So every time I walk past an ATM, I keep getting cash withdrawals.
That was a long walk.
The show was missing joke, but I was wrong. Thank you.
Some of us are just trying to run an illegal cash-only business. People are trying to fucking stop me.
That's why I put you two in together. I knew there would be a clash. Alright, so you may have heard this one. North Korea's National Clothing Research Center has developed a new style of clothing. Do you know what's so special about this style of clothing? Hang on, I got people on stage who remember that.
No, fucking
left!
What did you say? Go on.
There's colours.
There's colours.
Is that a new style of clothing for
maybe,
you?
There's maybe colours. There's a reason you're on stage. There's colours. Wow!
That was very mean.
You were on my team, and that was a good answer.
Only mean because it was
almost
true.
Everyone's on your team, Clark.
There's colours. North Korea does have colours, right?
Yeah, they put them in their flag.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, you know, red all over the streets for the bloodshed. There's colours everywhere.
Have they got good pockets for women?
No, they're not that concerned about their sisters.
I don't care then.
Have they only just gotten tinsel? Remember that flower?
Tinsel. Hello, 1997.
What is tinsel?
It's
denim, but soft.
Oh, right. Yeah,
we all had that with like a fluoro hot chia shirt. Do you remember that? Yes, what a great time in our lives.
I'm going to give you the answer. So it's made to be edible in the event of an emergency. Which is the entire state of North Korea. It's the state of emergency.
You get it on day one, you go, can I now eat it, please?
Yeah.
I've been hungry for the last 2 decades.
So supposedly, it's made from artificial flannel fabrics, composed of trace elements of such high-grade protein, amino acids, fruit juice, magnesium, iron, and calcium.
I call bullshit. I reckon they're out of food.
And
right?
This is what they say.
That's just what they're saying.
Well, this is what they say.
They're taking our Oxfam connections, sending those clothes up, and just saying it's edible.
Yeah. But they say in the official write-up that it's in the event of like to avoid starvation in the event of food does run out, which is mostly North Korea.
They already
stopped. Yeah.
It's a preemptive method, might be.
Yeah, something like 20 years ago probably would have been good, and something, you know, that wasn't just make clothing edible.
It does seem a bit redundant. If they're worried about like generating food, then rather than doing some new research and turning clothes into food, why not turn food into food?
Well, they're going to grow it. And to help with that, this is a solid segue.
It's holding you to grow up hair, isn't it?
So,
yeah, keep applauding them!
So they obviously have an ongoing food crisis there, and there's been a suggestion made that they would citizens would hand over 220 pounds of what every day to help with the food crisis?
Flesh.
Not far off.
Oh, God.
Is it belly button lint?
Hopefully not. No, because they can eat that. That's apparently now they can eat that.
Is it earwax?
Something the human body produces.
Hair.
Oh, is it
poo? It is poo. It is poo. Yeah.
How much?
220 pounds. Which I think is more than a human produces in maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, where are you storing it?
My festival diet.
Do you have a refrigeration system for this?
I'm not sure where they're storing it. Supposedly it's going to be used for manure.
I thought you couldn't use it.
Yeah, I didn't think you could either, but apparently they found a way.
Good job, North Korea, I guess.
Yeah, winter getaway, anyone?
All right, let's go on to something a little more upbeat.
Yeah, I think you remember what said that.
Yeah. So esports are really popular now. Yeah, right.
All right, well, that's esports. We're all on board with that.
Yeah.
Esports
are really popular. This is the premise we're going with. And the latest game to join pro leagues of esports. Does anyone have to take a guess at what that might be?
Super Smash Bros.
I think that would already be in there. But
oh, would it?
I don't imagine it would. It's a fighting game.
I don't know anything about most sports.
Is it Lemmings?
No, it's not Lemmings.
I don't know what you're going to be for.
Because you haven't said anything.
Correct. Sometimes it's better to not say anything at all if you haven't got anything smart to say.
Wow.
This particular instance.
Then why does this whole podcast exist?
Because a white man got bored.
Solid answer.
isn't esports. Aren't all
the video games?
Yeah, I know
types of video games. There might be some people who don't know.
But aren't the popular ones the ones which are like a model of like normal real sports anyway?
Yeah, usually. But this one's a bit sort of left of field. It's becoming it's Farming Simulator.
Oh.
Farming Simulator has become the latest esport. And there's a prize pool. So they've got a Farming Simulator League. Anyone take a guess at the prize pool for it? It's in Euros.
€500. 1,000 euros.
Too high,
too.
Oh, okay. I thought too much.
You appended that 1,000 at the last minute, didn't you? You didn't know where that was. That 500 was going.
Yeah, she was
not
reading me like.
Sure.
She's like, I don't know if anyone knows about the horse that could count. That was like, people would read it maths
equations and it would count like one. And basically they found out that the reason that the horse could actually do maths was it was reading the body language of the people. So once it reached a number, once it reached the right number, usually the body language would be like, oh, good work, so it would stop counting. So that's what Clara was doing to me. She was reading me.
Yes, but I was wrong. So a horse is smarter than me. Good job.
What's the answer?
250,000 euros. You went. It wasn't a bad guess.
Oh, I can halve it. I was half right.
Hey, I didn't know what esports was until last year. My show at Melbourne Fringe was on directly after a duo called Game Boys, who were very funny, and they do a show called The Wide World of Esports.
Yeah, yeah.
But every time I saw it written down, I just read The Wide World of Escorts, and I was like, why are we doing it all that? We could do some cross promo here, guys. That's how I learned what esports were.
Alright, we're going to wrap this up with one more question.
How many points, by the way?
You're winning.
I know.
You're the only one who's answered, I think, correctly.
That's annoying.
John McAfee, the creator of McAfee Virus, and...
McAfee Antivirus.
Yeah, but sorry, McAfee Antivirus.
If he invented both, so that would be smart.
I know, well that's
yeah,
what he did though, isn't it? Isn't that the rumours?
Well, there's a lot of rumours about him. He's
Matt's like, can I just answer
man.
The question?
No, he's announced that he's doing what in 2020?
Running for president?
Yes.
Oh,
running
come
for
on.
President, yeah. Because this man, I don't know if you've so he's a bit of a wild card. He's currently in seclusion. He's like hiding because he owes a lot of money to the government, and he plans on doing his 2020 run via... So, you know how Edward Snowden sort of has to travel around and do talks via Skype and like with one of those little iPads that has his face on it? That is his plan. He's going to hire people to sort of take an iPad with his face into debates, and he'll just be on the iPad answering questions. He also promised to eat his own dick if the price of Bitcoin didn't reach 100 million by 2020.
What?
He's really invested in
it. He's also
going
to do that on the iPad as well.
I would have to imagine so. That's how he's going to get elected.
Just switch it off at that point. That's where we draw the line.
That's at least you can turn it off at that point.
I know that the president of Starbucks has also decided that he's running for president.
He has, yeah.
What's he promising? Free coffee? Excuse me, I want to see him eat a goddamn appendage. That's what I want in a president. Oh, God.
This is all we've got now. This is appendage eating. At that point, I think we're going to call it an end to the show, and our winner is Mr. Ollie Holland. Thank you so much for coming out, guys. I really appreciate you guys hanging around and moving all the way out the back out there.
Can I give a discount code?
Yeah, we'll have a chat to them after the show.
I'll do it now. Who wants the word? Wants the tickets to the show? Use the word chicken.
There
you
go.
Get money off.
There you go. Even if you didn't win, you still won. Word chicken. To get code here. Go see all of my guests. They've all doing the last two nights.
Yeah, tonight and tomorrow. What's
tomorrow
done?
Night.
Oh, tomorrow my show's a little bit different. It's an exhibition of all the shows that have happened, including Sharknado the Musical, Bunny Floor's Passage to the Beginning, or What is the End? The Never Ending Story that keeps ending. That was one that we did. Penguin Butler, that was a very bad show. So, very bad. But that'll be Sunday running from 2 o'clock. The tours of the museum are just a gold coin donation, and all the money goes to Everwell, which is the service that helps displaced people within Perth.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. Go check out. How long does that run for? Because you said it starts at 2.
It starts at 2 and goes to probably 10 p.m. So I'll be there all day.
Oh. Do you have to speak for the thing?
Yeah, I'm the guy.
Jesus.
I'm committed to my journey in life. My parents are really proud. They live in Albany, but they won't come.
Hey guys, let's give it up one more time for our guests. Thank you so much. I do have a little bit of cleaning to do before I start my show, but you're welcome to stay. Sorry. You're welcome to stay if you want to. You can get like $5 tickets to my show if you don't already have them. But I'll get you to pop out the door just then. Head out through the fire exit, and if you do have a glass,